entertainment. It's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
It is the computer corner right here, News Radio 620 KTAR. We got no lines open, but again, I'll give out the phone number just because it sounds good. Actually, okay. let's make Matt give out the phone number. You think you can do it, Matt?
Yeah, I think I can. I can do it.
Yeah,
we are taking questions not available right now, but pretty soon I'm sure we will be.
Like when you hear somebody hang up.
When you hear somebody hang up, and we'll say thank you and good night.
What's the number, man? Give out the dang number.
The number is 602-277-5827.
That's right. And you know that 5827, it spells K-T-A-R.
Isn't that ingenious?
Isn't that cool?
It's awesome.
We're trying to get to get Matt a little used to that mic there, so he'll warm up in a little bit. But let's go to our first caller, which is actually Adam, which is probably a big surprise to everybody. He's our 14-year-old sidekick slash genius. Well, I don't know if that's probably pumping him up a little much because he might screw up here. But he calls in just about every week. He started calling in a long time ago and corrected us and made us look dumb. And so we decided, you know, we should keep him around. And he joins us each week to try to talk about either something news and technology related or some product that's cool out there. And this week, I'm sure he's got something great. So take it away there, Adam.
Well, a week or two ago, you guys talked about one of Microsoft's new products that's coming out in beta stage right now, which means it's in development, called Microsoft Anti-Spyware.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a chance to download that from the Microsoft website at Microsoft.com/spyware, and I got a chance to take a look at it and see how well it did compared to some of the other anti-spyware products out there.
And your thoughts on that?
Well, Microsoft actually, they bought a different company that created Giant Anti-Spyware.
Yeah.
So they're basically the same product at this point, but Microsoft Anti-Spyware is just like a lot of the other spyware programs. If you want to get all the spyware off your machine, you're going to want to have as many of the different programs as you can, because they all detect different things, and sometimes they don't detect others, but
right.
You know, different programs will.
But what Microsoft's Anti-Spyware does that a lot of others don't do is it actually provides some active protection. That means, like antivirus, it doesn't wait for you to get screwed up before it can fix something, although it can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
It sits there and kind of watches what's happening on your computer and apps getting installed and you going to different sites and tries to protect you from getting it in the first place.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And, in fact, I had the anti-spyware software on my computer and I was installing some other software, and every once in a while it would pop up saying this piece of software has been allowed to go in your startup folder or to install a service because it is known to be spyware-free.
Right.
But
the cool thing is it's alerting you so that if you didn't know, like you weren't intending to install something and that popped up, even if it's known to be spyware-free, you might want to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I didn't try to install something just now.
Right.
Right? What were you going to say, Chad?
It even, when I first installed it, it even notified me that Windows Messenger was running and suggested I turn it off. A component built right into Windows.
By Microsoft, right.
Right.
Yep. But it's the cool thing is it's trying to maybe let you know. The big thing, and actually I'm at Microsoft's homepage right now, Microsoft.com, and on the right they have a little thing that says, I accidentally downloaded what? And it says, help them learn how to watch for spyware. And it's got a picture of a little girl because, you know, kids or adults. And they're putting a kid there because they don't want people to feel responsible for themselves. They want it to blame it on their kids.
Sure.
But they're downloading things thinking that it's some application that they need or want, or it puts cool smileys in their email, whatever this thing supposedly does. And they don't realize how much garbage is coming with it. And this is designed to kind of help you navigate and know that what you're installing is safe or not, because it'll help kind of protect and block some of the bad stuff, or at least notify you what actually is going on behind the scenes.
Right.
Interestingly enough, by the way, if you're at the Microsoft's homepage, right below there's a little how-to tips on setting up and troubleshooting your home network connections, and they talk a lot about wireless stuff in there, so kind of a cool resource too.
I just have a little thing that I thought about anti-spyware. In its early development stages, anti-spyware actually tried to disable Microsoft Internet Explorer because it was like the source of all spyware on accident. So,
well, that's a proactive approach. Huh?
Yes, it is.
that's like, you know, making sure that you don't get a virus by unplugging from the internet and keeping your computer turned off.
Yeah, it works every time.
Yes.
You know, Microsoft's been under some heat recently because they haven't released whether or not this is going to be a free download once they come out with the full version.
Right.
And a lot of people are going, hey, if Microsoft didn't have so many holes in it, then we wouldn't need spyware removal tools. And,
right.
You know, but
yeah, but that same argument's been made by, like, the phone company who you have to pay to not publish your number. because they sell the list to somebody, so you get a bunch of phone calls. I mean, at some point, it's some of it's part of the what's built into the operating system. That's there's holes and patches and things that need to be made, but some of it's also people not paying attention, not reading the license agreement, just taking all the defaults and installing all the garbage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether or not they charge for it at this point, I think is kind of secondary. If the tool is an effective tool at doing its job, it's probably worth a few bucks because it's going to save you money in the long run. So that's at this point, it's beta, which means, you know what we say about pioneers, they get arrows. So if you're not somebody that's pretty astute on your machine, we wouldn't necessarily recommend you download and install this thing. But if you are, you might want to check it out. And at this point, anyway, it is free because it is in that beta format.
Correct.
Anything else, Adam?
Well, it just kind of sounds like this is just one more reason to stay trash in at Explorer and go get a better browser that doesn't have as much capability for putting spyware on your machine.
True, to a certain extent. But, you know, as more people migrate to a new, a different browser, you know that hackers are just going to focus their attention on that.
Right.
So it's, I don't know how long that'll really be a viable solution, but I'm using a different browser now. So
which browser are you using?
I'm actually using DeepNet Explorer,
which isn't really a different browser.
It's really just a plug-in to Internet Explorer, but it does add a lot of security features,
right.
Which it's got a phishing filter built into it and the pop-up blocker and all that good stuff, and tabbed browsing and all that.
Yeah, I just have my friends go and download stuff and dump it into Notepad, and that's how I browse the internet. It's way cool, man. All right, Adam. Well, thanks for the tidbits. And if you want to check out the Microsoft anti-spyware, there is a free download available right at Microsoft's website at Microsoft.com. Look in the upper right-hand corner and click on the link that's provided, and you'll see all kinds of information. Again, a little warning, a word to the wise or not so wise, depending on which one you consider yourself. It is beta software, which means it's still under development. It's in testing, and your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Is that the way to say that? All right, Adam. We'll see you next week, man.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. I think actually next week, a little programming note. I believe we're doing a live remote broadcast from the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction.
That'll be
so
fun.
So we'll be here, but we won't be here. Does that make sense?
As far as the people are concerned,
the peeps,
we'll be here.
We'll be on the air,
yes.
Just not from this building. But that's all right. We'll be around to help answer and solve your computer problems and issues either way.
We're going to have an out-of-studio experience.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So wireless networks. You know, I have a wireless network in my home, and most of the components are actually wired. But there were a few rooms in my house that were maybe upstairs and across the house that I didn't really want to get into my attic and start trying to figure out how to pull wires. And I didn't want to pay some guy to come in and cut up all my drywall and have to do all these patches. And so, of course, a wireless network made a lot of sense. It's a quick, easy way to be able to hook not only PCs up, but maybe a little webcam that you want to be able to watch your backyard to see if the yard guys are peeing in your pool. Maybe you've got like a TiVo, which is a brand of digital video recorder or DVR that you want to hook up to your broadband connection so that you can download all the guide data and things via high-speed internet, plus be able to share some of the programming and things that are on that box with your PC or with other TiVos in the house. It's not just limited to computers, the things that wireless networks can help serve.
Now, what have you done? What steps have you taken to secure your wireless network at home?
Well, I've done a couple things. Number one, I went in and, of course, disabled what's called the broadcast. So what that means is if you go and if you've ever used a wireless network, you turn on your notebook to connect to it, and the first thing you see is all the available networks that are out there that are wireless, and probably there's four or five of them, and a lot of them are called something like Linksys or default. When you disable the broadcast, it turns off that name being broadcast, so that helps. Somebody else would have to know what the name of it was, but that's not the only thing I've done. I've also turned on WEP, which is, Matt?
Wireless encryption.
No, wired equivalent privacy.
Oh,
I put you on the spot there, I'm sorry.
You did, I was thinking the other WEP.
I'm glad you pointed to him and not me.
Another. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
But that's a little bit of security. It basically scrambles some of the stuff to make it a little bit harder for somebody to be able to guess how to configure their network to yours. And that's just a simple way of kind of securing things, but not foolproof.
It's only going to slow a hacker down
right.
If they're determined.
And then the final thing I did was turn on something called MAC address filtering, where you basically just give all the wireless devices a list of the other devices that are allowed to access the network, and anything off that list isn't allowed. The downside to that is if you're not fairly technical, if you add a new machine to the network, a new PC, a new device, you're going to have to go in and edit something where that might be a little bit cumbersome for some people.
And
so
just finding the MAC address on some of your devices can be tricky.
Yes. But that's a couple of the things that I've done. That's mostly what can be done today. There's some additional things you can do, but that's about as far as you can go if you want to secure a wireless network connection.
You know, they've actually developed a paint that you can paint on your house that has small nickel and copper pieces in it or something that they say contains your wireless network within your walls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually wrapped my entire house in aluminum foil, too. So that I didn't want to spring for the paint, but aluminum foil, it looks really cool, too. When you drive past, you get blinded by it. It's like the Mirage in Las Vegas, you know. Where that works, too. But a paint. Are you kidding me? Paint to paint your house?
I'm dead serious.
Wow. I don't know who's going to go through the time and expense of that, but...
Well, it's a water-based paint, too, so if you've got plants... might not be so healthy for the plants.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe they like some minerals. What if you have your house like buried in an underground bunker? Maybe that would take care of the problem.
There you go. 20 like feet or 20 stories under the ground. That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know many people that have a house like that, but that would be cool. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break coming up here in a minute. We got Scott, who's got a home-built computer and wants to know about USB storage drives. So we're going to talk to him about that, which is a very popular kind of thing these days. We got Byron, who has a computer game stuck in the computer. I don't know what that means, but we're going to find out about that. And Cindy, who has a Sony, and then there's an ad on her desktop that won't leave, and I'm sure we've got some kind of solution for her. So you guys stick around, and there are no free lines open, but I'll give the number anyway just for fun. Again, you can write it down. You can commit it to memory at 602-277-5827, 277-KTAR. It is the Computer Corner, News Radio 620 KTAR. Chad, Brandon, and Matt back right after this.
You can spend...